7 minutes after 10 o'clock. This is News Talk 610 CKTB every other Tuesday. We are joined by nutritional consultant Pam Colleen. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, Tom. How are you today?
I am excellent. Normally, we talk to Pam at 11, but I had a conflict with a guy on the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which I thought today would be a good conversation. So, Pamela, thank you for moving.
Oh, not a problem at all.
We all need our rights and freedoms.
Yep, absolutely. I can see why that's such a priority.
Now, you're doing a talk this, when are you doing your talk in Toronto on ADD and ADHD?
Yeah, I'm doing a talk called Nutritional Help for ADD and ADHD at the Front Street Convention Center. And this is basically a pre-launch type of workshop that is occurring at the same time as the Total Health Show.
Okay.
And so if people want to register for the class, the website is www.totalhealthshow.com, and people have to pre-register for this class.
All right. Now, this is going to be, this is a workshop. This is not, we have about 20 minutes, and this is a conversation that you usually take hours over to get all the details so parents or caregivers and even people themselves who are adults who they believe have ADD, ADHD can get a better handle, I guess, on their condition and through diet.
That's right. In a short frame of time, unfortunately, sometimes I leave people with more questions than answers. My nutrition classes can last up to 16 hours in duration. So it's just to show you how difficult it is to get this information to the masses, especially when there's just so much misinformation out there. And so the basic premise is very, very simple. But what happens is that the contamination of all the misinformation makes people very confused over what's a healthy diet. And just to give you a classic example, of course, and we did a show on it, was a recent study that was published, extremely misleading study about red meat. And I want to bring that up simply because they, most of the information we hear about red meat is that it joined the dark side and that it's bad for us and so on and so on. But unfortunately, this is just not so. We all evolved on red meat and we were very, very healthy for it. And I want to talk about a new study that was just published out of Australia, and this is hot off the press. And the reason why I bring this study up is not only I believe it to be true because I see this on a daily basis when I work with people, but it's common sense. And I think we need to always return to common sense when it comes to reading some of this, some of the science that we see today. And essentially, this study that was done in Australia was done on red meat and mood issues. And they took a group of women and basically concluded, and in their conclusion, they were totally surprised, by the way, Tom. They thought that they were going to find the absolute opposite from what they discovered, that red meat somehow or another put us in a bad mood. And what
right.
they found out...
Angry.
Yeah.
I'm eating blood.
Yeah. And what they found out was that red meat actually reduces our risk of developing clinical depression. So they noticed that red meat actually put us in a good mood. And so there you have it. And what is our number one cause of disability today? But depression. And if I'm going to pick on some of the nutrients that are very crucial for stabilizing your mood, of course, it would be the nutrients that you would find in animal fat, including things like dietary cholesterol. It would be the fat-soluble vitamins. But in terms of the mineral content as well, of course, if you're eating red meat, you should be getting enough zinc in your diet, and zinc plays a huge role on your mood.
You know what's interesting, though? And people will look, well, maybe it's the protein. Other forms of protein, such as chicken, pork, fish, or plant-based proteins, did not have the same effect.
Mm-hmm.
That lamb and beef had this, I guess, stabilizing effect and less chance for depression. You know, you could even say made you happier
by eating it.
That's bizarre.
Absolutely.
Well, it's not bizarre because I fully believe that the essential fatty acids, and you're one to point out always that it's not just meat. You have to get quality meat. We're not talking factory farm. We're not talking hot dogs. We're not talking processed meat. We're talking high quality. The best is organically raised, grass-fed beef, that this is the highest quality beef that your body should take in.
If people have the opportunity to buy pasture-raised beef, absolutely.
Right, right. That's your gold standard. But you know what? Below that, if you can't, then you know what? It's still going to have, you're still going to get beneficial effects from it.
Yeah, you're still better off eating red meat than not eating red meat.
Okay.
And just because, you know, I mean, we have to be realistic in today's day and age. Some people, it's just not practical to source their meat from local farms. Until we get more and more of a demand, which will increase the supply. Then it'll become easier and hopefully less expensive. So it's a time. We have to be patient with this because we have seen such a turnaround in our food supply over the last 100 years, and it would be nice if we could snap our fingers and return to the small family farm. But unfortunately, because of so many, so much destruction of the small family farm that has taken place over the last 100 years, it's going to take a while to reconstruct the small family farm.
Now, let's go on to ADD, ADHD. What exactly is ADD, ADHD? Do we have a scientific or a medical definition? Is there something we can measure, for instance, in blood? Is there some count we can measure, or is it based upon a physician's diagnosis?
Well, I've been diagnosed with ADD myself back several years ago in the 90s. I was diagnosed with ADD when I had chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and multiple chemical sensitivities. That was just another label that I was given. So I know how they do diagnose ADD firsthand. And basically, it's some testing to see response rates and so on. But there are other ways that kids get diagnosed with ADD and ADHD, and it's just simply sometimes just observational. It's not really anything scientific whatsoever. So unfortunately, I think a lot of kids are potentially being overdiagnosed with ADD and ADHD, that all they're really, really manifesting is just typical childhood behaviors. But I do see, though, that when I look at children today, they are certainly much more mentally unstable than when I was a kid. There's something very, very wrong today. And even here in London, the Thames Valley School Board did a survey among the teachers, and the teachers concluded that over 25% of the kids within the Thames Valley School Board had some sort of mental disorder.
Really?
Whether that was, yes,
wow.
Over 25%, Tom.
Now, what would be under that umbrella term mental disorder?
Well, that could be anything from ADD, ADHD, to oppositional disorder, oppositional defiant disorder, it could be obsessive compulsive disorder, could be all sorts of different disorders that have been created over the last few years. So it's really a very broad range, but basically they're saying that over 25% of the children have some sort of mood issue, and it's something obviously very visible to the teachers. And so, unfortunately, that type of survey, that type of conclusion, I believe, can be a little dangerous, and that is that, of course, the drug industry is there salivating over that type of conclusion and saying, oh, let's just get all these kids on drugs and make them more manageable in the classroom, which I don't think is the solution. I think the solution is that these kids need to get real food back in their lives, and that's not what's happening.
What is the common prescription then for ADD, ADHD? What do, I've heard terms, but is this where Ritalin and Adderall get prescribed?
Yep, they're given stimulants like Ritalin and Adderall, and I think most people may have heard the term kitty crack, and that's essentially what Ritalin is kitty crack.
Now, Ritalin, hold on a second. It's hyperactivity, but we're giving kids a stimulant?
Absolutely, yes, because...
What was the logic behind that? Only because I have no experience with Ritalin or Adderall, so I'm like, well, wait a second. Why would I give them a stimulant?
I know.
Are they overly stimulated right now?
Yeah, I was very confused about that when I wrote my book, Addiction. And so essentially what it is that the dopamine in the brain needs to be stirred up. It needs to be stimulated. So what the kids do to, or even an adult will do, is be overactive in order to push up the dopamine. And another way to look at it biochemically is that the sodium and the potassium, or the adrenal function, is so poor that people have to use a stimulant to push up the sodium and potassium, or the adrenal function in the body. So that's what hyperactivity is. That's what workaholism essentially is. That's what over-exercisers will do to try and stimulate their adrenal glands. And also, any kind of other substance type of addiction like caffeine or cocaine, any kind of stimulant like that, that's essentially what's happening, is they're trying to bring up weak adrenal function.
Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant, is our guest, talking about ADD and ADHD. When we come back, Pam will tell us how changing your diet could affect a child's behavior. I guess both for the bad and the good. We want to affect children for the good, but you can go through how our diet has been degraded has affected children in a negative way as well. As we understand that, we can, if we do the opposite, maybe we can affect children's behavior to the good. 10:17 is our time. My name is Tom McConnell. This is News Talk 610 CKTV. I've been wrong. I've been down. 21 minutes after 10 o'clock, this is News Talk 610 CKTV, joined by Pam Colleen, talking about ADD, ADHD. Pam, it's not just children who are diagnosed with this. As you said, adults like yourself can also be diagnosed.
Oh, yes, and it's very, very common, unfortunately. And people walk around and they feel like they have... I talk to adults all the time and they say they feel they have ADD or ADHD. They're not formally diagnosed. If you just look at this number of people who have been formally diagnosed with ADD or ADHD, it's only about 4 or 5% of the population. But I can tell you, as a cross-section of a lot of my friends and people I talk to, a lot of people feel like they have it, but they just haven't walked into a door and been formally diagnosed by a practitioner. So people feel like they have a broken brain. I use that term in one of my classes, how do you fix a broken brain? And people feel like their brains are broken. They, at very young ages today, I talk to people who always complain about memory loss, brain fog, that they just can't seem to feel motivated today, that there's all sorts of mood and behavior problems going on at every age category I speak to today. And going back to children, Tom, I want to talk about a book that I own, and it's about 100 years old. This book was published in 1913, and it was published by a woman by the name of Louise Stevens Bryant, and it was a book called School Feeding. And she, at the time, was considered the world-renowned expert in school feeding. And what she discovered with children who had mood, learning, or behavior problems was that they weren't eating enough foods like meat and butter in their diet. And so she acknowledged that. She would, you know, survey the families where the kids were having problems and find out that they just didn't get enough of these enough animal fat and animal protein in their diet, essentially. And what happened was, at the time, what they did was they sent the kids away to special schools. And it wasn't to discipline the children necessarily. It was actually to nourish them back to health so that they could get things like meat and butter in their diet. And certainly over the three-month period, the children would calm down and have better behavior at school. So unfortunately today, many of those school food initiatives that we hear about do not emphasize meat and butter. What they are emphasizing, unfortunately, is a high carb, lots and lots of fruits and vegetables. Like, you know, I don't have anything against fruits and vegetables, but they're not as nutrient dense as things like meat and butter. And then, unfortunately, on top of that, they're recommending things like low-fat dairy products, or even worse, you know, chocolate milk. And this is just still not going to be a healthy school initiative.
What do you do for parents? Let's focus on parents in terms of parents who have this diagnosis given to them by a doctor. Where do you start with them, and what recommendations do you do? Because you've had a number of clients who've had this diagnosis, have you not?
I see all sorts of these types of labels. I see everything from, you know, learning disabilities to fatigue, depression.
Right.
You name it.
Okay, so ADD and ADHD, you've had a number of people, number of patients, number of clients who've had this, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
And the second, when people come to my classes, and they don't even work with me one-on-one, if they just come to my classes and they start eating 3 square meals a day, reintroducing animal fats into their diet, invariably they email me back and they say, Pam, I started feeling better right away as soon as I started eating more animal fat, butter, red meat, eggs, and so on in their diet. So, you know, it's just... a cause and effect type of observation. It's not rocket science. I mean, before World War II, Tom, we weren't meat phobic, we weren't egg phobic, fat phobic, cholesterol phobic. We didn't have any of these food phobias, and we were far more mentally stable before World War II than we are today. In fact, we're 100 times more likely to have a mental disorder today than we were 100 years ago. And look what's happened to our diet over the last 100 years. We have displaced meat from our diet. We have displaced butter from our diet and replaced those foods with less nutritious foods. And look at how mentally unstable we are.
So what do you recommend for if people are listening? I mean, there's more information at your website, pamcolleen.com.
That's right, pamcolleen.com.
Okay. I always think, I'm like, no, wait a second. She's in Canada, but that doesn't mean it's CA. pamcolleen.com is for more information. But people listening today, what do you recommend? I know, is your book the best resource, The Hidden Epidemic?
Yeah, Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. I have a lot of ideas in that book, and I think, I'm not sure, chapters down at your mall there at Fairview Mall may still have copies, but I'm not too sure.
Okay.
But in a nutshell, Tom, we need to eat the way we did before World War II. So back then, we weren't afraid of eating a bacon and egg style breakfast. Back then, we weren't afraid of eating meat and potatoes potato style lunch and dinner. So essentially, you know, we focused our meals around eating enough animal fat and animal protein. And if you make your meals from scratch, you know, that's an extra perk if you can do that. So always make sure you're giving your kids, if you're giving them a sandwich, make sure that it's meat that you've cut yourself off of a roast instead of buying deli meats. That way you can be assured that there's less additives in that meat and there's going to be more protein and fat, hopefully, as well.
Pam Killeen, what's the name? Total Health Show. Sorry, I'm thinking the whole food health show, totalhealthshow.com. And when is your presentation? Friday?
Friday afternoon from 1 until 5 o'clock. And they have to register in advance. It's $50 for the afternoon. And so if you can register through the website, totalhealthshow.com, that would be best. Yeah.
Pam, always a pleasure. PamKilleen.com, TotalHealthShow.com. For more information, if you or... we see this with children, ADD, ADHD, but as Pam said, lots of adults get diagnosed with this and how to make a positive change back with your life. Pam, always a pleasure. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you so much, Tom. Take care.